garage. We bring them together. It's come thou fount of every blessing. You see, Jesus is the one who blesses us. And he blesses us with things that this world cannot provide. And sometimes we look for these blessings in the world, but we just come up empty. And so we ask that Jesus come near to us because he gives us every good gift.
Amen.
Thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I still thy goodness prove. While here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. Let's get all on the same page. Here I raise my Ebenezer.
Amen.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come.
Really?
Again. We'll let the sound guys change the slides. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me closer still to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen.
Amen.
The next song we're going to sing is one that, as we have gone through the week and have gone here, gone there, and now we are here. And what is this here-ness? It's actually the beginning of the Sabbath, amen, where God calls us to be with him in a very special way. And he invites us to get all the noise out of the way, to get all of our distractions put away, so that we can just be with him, which is really what we're looking for. So the next song is Come Away. Come away and be with Jesus. Don't you be in such a hurry, 'cause it only leads to worry. There's a time to work, but there's a time to pray. Try to find a quiet place to hear his voice and seek his face. Can you hear the Spirit calling? Come away. Come away. Come away. Come and spend some time with me. Come away. Let your heart and mind be still. Let your empty cup be filled. Come and spend some time with me. Come away. Are you sinking in your sorrow? Are you worried about tomorrow?
are the pressures of this life too hard to bear? If you cast your cares on Him, He'll give you perfect peace within. Can you hear the Spirit calling? Spend some time with me, come away. Come and spend some time with me, and my love will set you free. Come and spend some time with me, come away. Come away, come away. Come and spend some time with me. Come away, come and spend some time with me, and my love will set you free. Come and spend some time with me, come away. Come and spend some time with me, come away.
Amen.
And he came over, and I invited him to a week of prayer, and I've just been praying that he would come, and he's here. Yay.
What's his name?
Scotty.
Welcome, Scotty. Okay, and with that, we're actually going to pass out some gifts to any visitors we have that are non-Seventh-day Adventists. So, Scotty, you get one. Is anyone else here visiting that's non-Seventh-day Adventist? This is young, what's your name?
Oh, Henry.
Henry. This young man right here. Well, we're so happy to have you guys here this evening. With that, we'd like to invite the praise team back up for our theme song.
Every day before she heads out to work, I pray that God protects her. And that prayer was answered.
This morning I went to work, and yesterday we gave out little papers that said, what if this was it? Would you be ready to go to heaven? Would everything be okay? And then this morning I went to work, and I'm an interpreter. I was waiting for my patient to arrive so that I can interpret for this lady. She was late. And I waited and waited for her. And I went to the lady, the receptionist, and I said, you know, did she cancel? She said, no. I said, well, I'm just going to wait 5 more minutes. If she's not here, then I'm going to leave. Okay. I waited 5 minutes, and I got up, and then I thought, no, that's mean. Wait a little bit more. So I waited a little bit longer, and then they opened the back door, and this man came pushing a wheelchair. And there was my patient, very strong lady, and her son was there, and her daughter. We talked for a little bit. We were waiting for them to call this lady, and there were some kids making noise, little girls running here and there. The people were just waiting to be called so that they could come and do their checkup. When I was there, I looked at the window, but as I was looking at the window, I saw a man coming. And he was walking very fast. And he started walking toward us. And I smiled. I said, hello. And he walked by, pushing things around. And instead of waiting in the waiting room, he actually went inside the office. And he started, when he passed by, he had a lunch bag, the brown bag. When he went inside, he took a gun from the lunch bag. And he was screaming right there. And this lady, a nurse, came out, and she said, everybody get out, get out, get out of here. So all the patients who were there, everybody started leaving, but here was my patient that I was supposed to interpret for, and we were trying to get out, but the wheelchair just wouldn't go outside. And if we wanted to go back from the door that she was coming in, that was standing right in front of these men. So I looked around, there was a room, and we went into that room. We put some chairs in the close to the door so that nothing would happen. And we could hear the men screaming really loud, bad words, and just saying, "Everybody's going down. Everybody's going down." And then we heard really, really loud, "Boom, boom." And we didn't know what to do. We saw a little window. We opened the window. And one by one, they started, the son jumped out and someone else. And so then another lady and I were trying to get this lady outside as well. I don't know where the strength came from. I don't even remember. All that we remember is that she was out and now we were getting out. And the door, you could see that the man was trying to come in. And he was just screaming these things. We got out. We ran to the street. All these police cars came by. Reporters were there. They got the guy. He didn't hurt anyone. And when we were going towards the room, I remember thinking, this doesn't happen. And the only thing I could pray was, "God, help us." It was just a tiny little prayer, but God answers prayers, and he protected me. I told my husband what had happened, and he said, "Pull over. Just, you know, calm down." I was so shaking. And I said, "No, I just want to go home. I just want to be at home and just be out of here." God protected us, and I praise God for that.
As we started the week of prayer meeting with all the young adults that were leading out, I told them, "Get ready, because this week you're going to see things happen that are unexplainable, that have no reason to be happening, but just the devil is not happy that we are seeking God." And so we praise God to be here, because this we have today, but tomorrow we know not. And today the scripture says it is the day of salvation. With that said, let us stand as we sing our theme song.
As the pastor plays, there's a second instrumental that the pastor plays in the song. I'd like us to bow our heads and invite the Holy Spirit into this place, especially on our Sabbath.
My heart and all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dreams, I'm laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. I'm singing you this song, I'm waiting at the cross, and all the world holds dear, I count it all as lost. For the sake of knowing you, for the glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, even sharing in your pain. And I surrender all to you, all to you. And
loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you because you are our protector. We praise you because we just have to call a small prayer to you, and you will do huge things for us. And we pray that this Sabbath, your Holy Spirit be upon each and every one of us, May we cling to you when things aren't going well, when things get rough, when things get scary. We know that we can call on you and you will be there instantly. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and that you continue to prepare us for your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, we come before you, and we are so blessed to be in your house of prayer, so blessed to be part of this week of prayer, and you have called both Tommy and Kevin to serve you tonight. They have been preparing, not just the words that will be said, but they've been preparing their hearts as well. So, Father, I ask that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit, that you'll show them what to say. It could be something that's in their notes, and it might not be. I pray that what is said may glorify your name, may pierce our hearts, and challenge us to come to you. Fill this place with your presence. Use Tommy and Kevin for your glory, and we know you will do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey guys, how you doing? Thank you very much for y'all coming out here today and especially this week. I'm truly thankful and appreciative of it, and I'm sure Tommy is as well. Our topic today is on love, and I really enjoyed working with Tommy on this topic because this is actually all over the Bible. And I just wanted to thank you guys again because it's a real privilege to be up here. Speaking to the many of you that may get visitors, friends, and church members. Hold on. Thank you, good sir. Okay, again, I'm Kevin, and this is Tommy, and let's get started, guys. So today we're going to discuss and talk about what does it mean to love, what does it mean to love God, what does it mean God is love, and how God expects us to love. And I just wanted to ask Tommy just to open this up, what her views were in general about love. What does love mean to you?
Love to me is everything. I wouldn't be here
if my parents didn't think that they loved each other or if God didn't love me. So that's just, it's everything to me.
Yeah, I agree with her. Actually, I asked a few friends and family what they thought of love. And I got a reply from my sister, and she said, God for me is waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to make my children's sandwiches before they go to school. I was like, I could see that. You know, you have a lot of love for your kids. A lot of people I asked have kids already, and I'm just like, that's a big one for mothers and parents in general. And it's a really good thing. Even the fathers do it now. You know, waking up early to make sure their kids are off and well and go to school and stuff. And then I asked my own mother, and she says, I would give my all to you. I lay it all down for you. You know, I gave my life to you. I brought you in this world, and I would, you know, sacrifice mine so that you may live. And I was like, I truly felt grateful for that. And then it took me a minute to ask myself, well, I don't have any kids or anything like that. So what does love mean to me? And it took me a good minute to figure it out, what it meant to me. And what I came out with is it was actually my time. I love others the way I love Tommy loves her family, and I love my family, my siblings, and my grandmother and grandfather. But love to me is to give up time, to sacrifice my time for others. And I do it in the church. You know, I give my time to God every night I pray. I get on my knees and read some scripture and pray to the Lord, because He makes time for me. And that's love right there, you know, to sacrifice and to surrender. And, you know, I come out of it and I'm really appreciative because I'm surrounded by good people. And I know to look at time is working with getting involved in the church, being active in the church, pathfinders and outreach. You're giving your time. You're sacrificing yourself and who you are to for the better. But let's get started and see what God means for us when he talks about love.
So I kind of wanted to go first, like Kevin asked what love meant to everyone, and what is love? Like, what does the Bible say love is? And in order to do that, first I wanted to touch on spiritual gifts. So Corinthians 12:7 says that the spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So I'm like, okay, what kind of spiritual gifts do I have? You know, I was reading this, I'm like, I really don't have like any talents or anything. Like, I can't sing or anything like that. And the only one who distributes these gifts is the Holy Spirit. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And Corinthians 12:31 says, and in any event, you should desire the most helpful gifts. So I was like, man, I don't have the gift of prophecy. Like, I don't, you know, I like helping others, but, you know, I think sometimes, like, I'm too nice. You know, I always consider that as a fault. But right here it says, love is the greatest. And it says, first, however, well, I don't have this on there. It's Corinthians 13:1-8. So here it says, first, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any of them. If I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth but didn't love each other, I would only be making meaningless noise, like a long gong or a changing cymbal, a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries and the future and knew everything about everything but didn't love others, what good would it be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anybody. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. And then it goes on to say what exactly love is. So this is what love is according to the Bible, and this is the best definition that I've ever found. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever, but prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will all disappear. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So when I read this, like, this really spoke to me, because I was like, oh, I guess I do have, you know, something. I have a big heart, and, you know, I still have to work on, you know, being patient and love, but, you know, I know it's a start. And it just, like, gave me hope that this is how God loves each and every one of us. Now it's Kevin's turn.
Okay. So, as I was looking from the beginning to the end of my Bible, love is all around it, is everywhere in it, from the Old Testament to New Testament. And it's just, I started in Genesis, actually. And I titled it Image of Beauty and Power of Dominion, because in the beginning, as God was creating the heavens and the earth, he created man. And he made us in his image. I mean, I'm so thankful and appreciative of that, you know, and he gave us power of dominion. I mean, the Creator so loved us that he made us in his image, you know, so that we may love him, and gave us power of dominion, meaning he gave us power over the animals and all of the stuff, birds and fish. In Genesis 1:26-27, he says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.'" So he kind of, when I read this, he gave us a bit of his own power, but he gave it to us on earth. In verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." Right there, I mean, that should really explain itself. And, you know, I'm thankful to be in his image. As I continue to read Genesis, he gave us a Sabbath day. And as I said, it's a day to spend with God, to worship, rest, and give praise, love, and respect to him. In him, I mean the Father and the Son. It's a day of love, and I was reading, I was like, he had a really good understanding of what was going to happen after he created the heavens and earth, and when he made the Sabbath day. I don't know how he was doing it, time traveling or something, but he knows that we were going to have to work, that we worked like he worked when he started creating the heavens and earth. And you read this all in the first chapter of Genesis. And it's when he made that day of rest, what does it say in Mark?
He made it for us. It's not that he needed to rest, but he knew, like Kevin said, he knows everything. He knows everything that we're going to do, every sin that we're going to commit before we even do it. He knows that we were going to be workaholics, you know, so he made this day for us so we can regroup and collect our thoughts and be closer to him. And I remember my grandma used to say this story, because my grandpa was a really bad alcoholic, and he never went to church with her, but she would go to church every Saturday, and she worked really hard. She had her own house cleaning business, so she worked all week long cleaning other people's houses, and she would come home, have to take care of her grandkids, and her husband would be there, and he'd be like, "Oh, why are you going to church?" And he would give her a hard time about it. And then one day he sat down and he told her, he was like, "You know what, Margie?" He was like, "You work so hard all week, and you still wake up early and go to church on Saturday, and when you come home, you look so refreshed and, like, so rejuvenated." So he made it for us to benefit from.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, as she said it in Mark chapter 2, 27 through 28, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And this just makes sense to me. And it does to you guys as well, because we wouldn't be Adventists. And it really stuck out to me, because I get an opportunity. I look forward to coming to church on Saturday, not just for myself, but to see the rest of you guys here. And it's a true blessing to see that I'm surrounded around good people. I mean, against you guys, all good. I see you every Sabbath, and I'm appreciative that I can come around here and not feel so queer, about coming to church and talking about God with others. And it's a true blessing, and once you get involved in the church and Pathfinders, Outreach, Vespers, I mean, it really warms my heart. And God moves us forward. He doesn't move us back. He only moves us forward. And it's for the greater good. It just makes us better. And it refines us as a church and as people. And we can only go strive to be better. And then the sacrifice that became our greatest love of all time. And I speak of Jesus, and I'm so thankful for the man he was and the man he is in spirit. And what he did on the cross and Calvary was just, the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, that was just pure love. I mean, the man came knowing that he was going to die, for us. He came to spare us so that we may come to the Creator and love him, to be with him. But we all know we have to go through Jesus first. We have to get to know our Savior and our Messiah, and know how great he is and how merciful he is. And because he reflects God, and he's the greatest example that we have. In Bible Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespass, made us all alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And I wrote down there, Jesus thought we were worth saving. He thought we were worth the sacrifice. And, I'm going to use a line from Brother Mark. None of us should be lost. None of us should be lost. If this person came to earth and it did what he did, just to die for us is great. I mean, I have in Bible, John 3:16. Do you guys know John 3:16? Can you guys say it to me? Amen. Praise God for that. Right on. Okay. Our surrender and sacrifice to Jesus earns our right in heaven with him and with our Creator. And this is a light in the love within. This is when you accept Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord of Lords, as my King of Kings. And I called it light within, because once you accept him, there's a light that he puts within you, a light upon my feet and a light upon my path. You stray, he'll bring you back. And, we were all lost once. We were all lost once. I know that for sure. But, we can't be found. We can't open that door for Jesus to change our lives. As it says in 1 John chapter 4, 15 through 16, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. God abides in us. Except Jesus, God will abide in us. Bless upon us our Holy Spirit to impress upon us good things, the path that he wants us to go once we sacrifice our will. And that's hard for most, to sacrifice our will. But it's one of the greatest surrender that we can give to our Lord. And that many of us know the blessings that we get from it. And I'm so glad he abides in me and in that he is my God. In verse 16, and we have known and believed that love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Again, this makes us better people, better parents, better wives and husbands. And, you know, it makes us the best men and women that we can be for ourselves, for our children, and for our families. And that's truly great. And once you have this light within us, once you have this light and this love and this peace, this balance and this warmth, he transforms you. He changes you. He moves you forward. You may have to go back to understand, to move forward. I know it happened with me. And I had to do a lot of forgiving and, you know, to let go of all the baggage that I used to have and what was keeping me from doing what I needed to do with God, my own ego, speaking of. Transformation. Oh, here we go. Self-discovery that you find. You find what kind of person you are. The person that God wants you to be. And other than when you sacrifice your will, when you give up yourself. And what did I say there? The person that you did not think you could be. Living with honesty, integrity, and truth. It feels so good not to lie anymore. It feels so good that I do not have to lie anymore. I don't even have to white lie anymore. Yeah, that's how good I am with it, and you know, I hope you guys are too. But yeah, live your life with honesty, integrity, and truth. God will reveal truth to you, and as he reveals truth to you, he will refine you, and he'll make you an honest person. You know, a person that is giving, and you know, very much great.
So loving God, how do you love God? Like, you know, it says how God, like, this describes what love is, and that's the love God has for us, because we're not perfect. We all strive to be like God, but none of us can be like Jesus. None of us can be as patient as he was or as accepting as he was. He loved everyone, and he loves all of us the same. So does anyone know what the most important commandment is? I'll tell you. Matthew 22, chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And if that's what we do, if that's what we strive for, just to wake up, we get on our knees every morning and say, look, God, Lord, I know I'm not perfect, but I do love you with all my heart. He'll start working on you, and you're not going to change overnight. You're a work in progress, and you're going to be a work in progress till the day you die, till the day he comes. You're never going to be perfect. But all he wants you to do is just love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The second most important is to love your neighbors as yourself. And that's easy, right? If you love your neighbors as yourself, your neighbors are your friends, you know, your families. It's not really easy, but you're more accepting of the people you care about. You tend to have, you know, more unconditional love for them. But he goes on to say that this is what loving others is. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48 says, you have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And that way you will be acting as true children, as your Father in heaven. For he gives sunlight to both the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? If you are only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. So yeah, this one is probably not as easy, but I mean, as long as you just pray, you know, for that help, for Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit every day. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. You'll start to notice, like, oh, wow, I felt really bad about that. You know, maybe I should be nicer to people, or maybe I shouldn't do this as much. And fulfilling the commandments, he also tells us how we can fulfill them. In Romans 13, chapter 13, 9 through 10, it says, "For all the commandments against adultery and murder and stealing and coveting and any other commandment are all summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to anyone, so love satisfies all of God's requirements." And that's how strong love is. Like, just, it's the greatest spiritual gift that you can ever strive for. And it just shows you right there, if you have love in your heart, if you love Jesus, this is going to come naturally to you. It's going to be second nature. And if, you know, if you do mess up or have a slip up and you are mean to someone or you treat someone poorly, you just have to ask God, you know, you repent. And if you truly do have the love for God in your heart, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you. This is Kevin's visitor message.
Yeah, it's actually both our message for visitors, but for the many who attended this week and today as well. If you guys like to turn to James 1, chapter 1, verse 12. I have it up here. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." And if you guys can turn the page, John chapter 14, 6. Tommy can read that if you guys aren't there yet. Can you read that?
No, you can read it.
Okay. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
And I don't have mine posted up there, but I just wanted to say this also too for the visitors, because I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist. My grandma took me to church all the time. I went, you know, my mom, but I strayed away. So, and I always felt guilty, like, you know, and I went away and I would take my daughter to Sabbath school, but I wouldn't go to church. And when I would go to worship hour, my daughter would act up, so I would leave. So I would just, you know, I was doing my own thing. I was caught up in the world. And when I came back home, when I came back here, I was like in a lot of turmoil inside. And when I would come to church, I would just feel like so out of place. So this one right here, like, really comforted me. It's the story of the lost sheep. I don't know if any of you have ever read it. So tax collectors and other, well, it's Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7. So, and this is Jesus directly speaking to us. And it's when he would, you know, Jesus would go, he would preach to all the sinners. Anyone who wanted to hear him speak was welcomed. So tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such despicable people, even eating with them. So Jesus used this illustration. If you had 100 sheep and one of them strayed away and was lost in the wilderness, wouldn't you leave the 99 others to go and search for the lost one until you found it? And then you would joyfully carry it home on your shoulders. When you arrived, you would call together your friends and neighbors to rejoice with you because your lost sheep was found. In the same way, heaven will be happier over one lost sinner who returns to God. So that just filled my heart with joy. You know, I was like, okay, this is where I need to be. And that's how much Jesus loves each and every one of us.
Thank you all again for coming out this whole week. You guys are diehards for Jesus, and that's great.
Amen.
So next one of our theme song, we're going to close this up, guys. Much love to you.
I'd like to ask all those who spoke this past week if they could come forward. If you actually come on the platform, that way it can be more visible. I praise the Lord for these young adults that have took up the challenge to be courageous and to take a step of faith. To share a sermon is not an easy thing. It may have kept some of you up at night or two, or made you quite nervous. But I know that the church was blessed by hearing the messages night to night. But I have a hunch that maybe even what you preached on that given night may have challenged you, and you were greatly blessed by it as well. And so, as a church, we'd like to say thank you for all your hard work this past week, and we know that God will do even greater stuff through you from here on out, and stuff that's been going, you've been doing before and in the future. And so as we sing our theme song, as we in closing, I'd like to invite you to stand.
Thank you.
all to you, all to you, and I surrender all to you, all to you.
Last night we were here. And I made a call based on exactly what we just finished singing. And I surrender all to you. Tonight we have heard about the love of God, and it's a love that we can't not even begin to understand. A love that changes us, a love that fills us, a love that purifies us. And really it's the greatest longing of our hearts. To receive the love of God. And tonight he offers this to us. But he's not going to force us to come to him. He gives us an invitation. An invitation with our names on it. And so, I'd like to invite you. If you know that God is calling you to surrender your life to Jesus, I'd like to invite you to come forward. Maybe it's something that needs to be surrendered. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's just going down the wrong road. Maybe it's resisting God's invitation, and tonight you want to accept it. If that is your desire, I invite you to come forward. Let us pray. Father God, thank you because you have spoken to us tonight. And you speak loudly. And how do you do it? You show us your love. Thank you. Your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And it is that gift that we receive today. Why? Because we want to be filled with you. We've been filled with many other things that just doesn't quite cut it. And so tonight, we make a decision to surrender all. Not just that, but as we've surrendered all tonight, when we wake up tomorrow, we ask that we may surrender everything tomorrow as well. That way we can live a life that is surrendered consistently. Father, bless those who have made a decision for baptism, rebaptism. Thank you because those dates will be happening soon. But there could be someone who is wrestling with that and did not raise their hands. I pray that your spirit may move them because I can't. Only you can. Thank you because you are moving your church. What are you moving your church for? So that we can be ready for your second coming. Move us, O Lord, even more. Forgive us of our sins. Thank you because you receive us just the way we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Those of you who made a decision for baptism, if you can wait right in the front here, I'd like to have a word of prayer with you.